Blog Talk Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, El Salvador, Amarillo, Coca-Cola, Tarantula, Amphidella, I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, spare man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, County, Monterey, Faraday, Santa Fe, Tallapoosa, Glen Rock, Black Rock, Little Rock, Oskaloosa, Tennessee, Chicopee, Spirit Lake, Grand Lake, Devil's Lake, Crater Lake, the Beach Lake. I've been everywhere, man. I've been...
It's time for the next edition of the Riveting Jumble Justice Radio Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Turn up your speakers and listen closely, since you may be asked questions later. Keep your phone handy, since we encourage you to call in your comments to the host and guests on today's show. The listener call-in number is 347-996-5983. Once again, the number is 347-996-5983. You will also find the number on the top of the homepage for the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I'm Audrey, your technical and spiritual advisor for the radio broadcast. And now, without further delay, allow me to introduce your eminently qualified and inspiring host for Jumble Justice, Professor Keith Haley.
Thank you very much, Audrey. Audrey, by the way, did you happen to see Mike and Emily singing the words to that song? If they keep that up, one of these nights we'll replace Johnny Cash and have them do the number. But what a number to sing, 90 cities and states and the lyrics of that song, and Johnny Cash never misses a spot. And indeed, if you map that out, he has been everywhere, man. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Keith Haley, and I'm your host of the Jumble Justice Radio Show. And we want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. Audrey, thank you again for getting us on the air, as always. And we did have a little slip-up tonight. I love those little things that come up that say, oops, offered up by Blog Talk Radio about 1 minute before your show goes live, but we recovered everything. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of our show is always to discuss news, events, issues, and developments in this difficult field of criminal and juvenile justice, and we cover some of the humorous aspects of that, too, and goodness knows there are enough of those cases. And our show is dedicated to those tireless, energetic police courts, corrections, and juvenile justice professionals who protect us throughout the United States and throughout the world. And I suppose folks every now and then think about what it would be like if about half of those people walked off the job. I think it would be unbearable in the country, that's for sure. So we certainly are grateful to them. Our show is sort of an inside look at criminal justice practice and at its professionals. And as someone said, we're sort of the NPR of criminal justice. And I've said that I'll accept that as a compliment. Blog Talk Radio is a great medium, ladies and gentlemen. We're not only broadcasting to where you are, perhaps in the United States or across the street or down the road or in our part of the country, but it broadcasts live in streaming audio on the Internet throughout the world. And Alan Levy is the genius of this particular medium. He's the CEO of Blog Talk Radio. And we're now up over to 1,700, 1,800 shows or something like that on the network. And if you go in there on any evening, any day, any time, as a matter of fact, you'll see many shows of a variety of genres to choose from. Political does happen to be the largest category, but they even break that into a different one. Although it's not broken up, but they have conservative politics, liberal, et cetera. We just stuck ours in there under political, since, you know, you can't get away from politics, can you? I always said that's probably the truest of all of the social scientists, and I have many definitions of it, but one simple one is who gets what, when, where, and why. That could pass as one definition for politics. But anyway, you can have your own show. You can be interested in repairing bicycles. You can be interested in selling toothpaste. It doesn't make any difference. If you want to have a radio show, you can do it on the Blog Talk Radio Network, and I think someone did this here about 3 weeks ago based on my suggestion and signed up for the show. I think it takes literally about 3 minutes, and you can have your own show and start scheduling and offering broadcasts that way. And what happens when the show is over, it's actually archived in about 5 minutes, and you can take the show and download it onto your MP3 player, your computer hard drive, some other type of playing device, and you can listen to the show at will. So, as it says on the back of a box of Cheez-Its, it says, get your own box. Well, you can get your own show on Blog Talk Radio. And I don't know if people really appreciate this, but if you would have gone back into the 1990s and when some people tried broadcasting through the Internet, when the bandwidth was very small, of course, it was a heck of a problem, and it costs a lot of money, but now you can actually do this free. Well, tonight's show, we're going to do what we usually do, at least in some respects. We're going to take a look at some of the criminal justice news items. We accept any of our guests call in if they'd like to do that, and we'll be giving you out the call-in number here in just a second. Why not give it out now? It's 347-996-5983. That's 347-996-5983. After we look at the news, what I'm going to do tonight, if you remember last week, we took a little look at the Republican candidates who are running for president. 9 have declared, and there's one more, and that was Fred Thompson. And what we did is engage in a little research project. I identified 20 variables that relate to the topic of illegal immigration and border security, and I'm going to be going over those in just a while. And then what I did is I looked at the websites of these candidates to see what they said about those 20 variables, if they had any type of comments or took a stand on those variables. And the results to me were interesting. I think I've probably got the makings of a paper here. So when we finished with the Republicans, I read a little bit of a summary, not too much of a analysis and summary of the data, but some. And I said the next week we go ahead and do the Democrats. And that's what we're going to do tonight, is take a look at the Democrats and their stand on this business of illegal immigration and border security. And as it was with the Republicans, it will certainly be the case tonight. There are some surprises, at least based on what these ladies and gentlemen say on their website. So it should be interesting. You can listen to the show on your Windows Media Player, of course, if you're listening already. You don't need instructions on how to do that, but you can also call in by phone, cell phone, landline. You can use the wonderful service of Skype. I use that once in a while myself. And you can hear the whole show actually on your phone. And again, the call-in number is 347-996-5983. And what happens, we can hold 5 calls at a time, and we can all talk to each other and hear everything that goes on to the show with your phone. We're going to start with one of Audrey's blonde jokes, and I always like to preface Audrey's jokes with a comment that Audrey is a blonde. She's from Great Britain, and she's been collecting blonde jokes since she was a small girl. And so she has probably several thousand of these that she could produce on the show, and we'd let her do one or two each night. And I understand tonight she's going to do something a little different. We have a caller on the line, and I think I'm going to bring them on right now so that they don't feel left out, and perhaps they can join us in some of these things. Whoops. The caller disappeared. So we'll have to wait for the caller to come back. Anyway, here's Audrey's joke. If you care to listen to this, kind of an interesting one tonight. She gave me a little preview of what she's going to do. I think she's going to break precedent again tonight. If you remember last night, or last week, it was not a blonde woman joke. It was a blonde male joke, a man joke. So tonight, let's see what she has to say.
Professor Haley, Tonight we break precedent again, and I'm presenting several short blonde jokes. I know you will enjoy some of them for sure. Couldn't learn to water ski, because she couldn't find the lake with a slope. Got excited because she finished a jigsaw puzzle in 6 months, and the box said 2 to 4 years. Couldn't call 911, because there was number 11 on any phone button. When asked what the capital of California was, she answered C. Baked a turkey for 3 days, because the instructions said 1 hour per pound, and she weighed 125 pounds. After losing in a breaststroke swimming competition, the blonde complained that the other swimmers were using their arms.
Okay, that's a quick little list, and those are certainly certainly some good ones. Thank you very much, Audrey, for that list of jokes. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been remiss here the last several weeks, perhaps longer than that. I haven't been playing this public service announcement by the Hiya Gun Coalition, and they have a public service announcement that they play on their website, and I suppose other places. And I thought we might play that again tonight in the interest of reducing violence.
Carrying concealed handguns in Ohio? It's a deadly idea. A message from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence.
I'm glad they actually have that advertisement, and I hope that all the gang members and all the junior criminals and senior criminals in the state of Ohio and anyone that's listening would certainly pay attention to that and lay down their concealed weapons and perhaps go and turn them in a gun turn-in program. Oh, that would be a good idea. I think that's who that is directed toward. I wouldn't be certain about that. Let's take a little bit, a little look at the news tonight and see what we can find out. There's certainly some odd ones in here. There's a couple police stories from the East that I thought was unusual. For those of you who get into the esoteric aspects of different kinds of searches, both strip and body cavity and well, let's say even more intrusive than that, this is a story out of Calcutta. It says an Indian suspect was forced by police to eat 50 bananas, and he was doing this. They were trying to use these bananas as a laxative to retrieve a necklace he was accused of stealing and then swallowing when the police caught up to him. When the bananas failed to produce the desired effect, they went ahead and gave him some more food. They gave him rice and chicken and bread from the local community, and finally the necklace, which appeared on an x-ray taken of the suspect, was x-rayed and retrieved, says the BBC. He will appear in court in the eastern city of Calcutta, and he could face a prison sentence. This necklace was worth 550 pounds, and anyway, when he was cornered by the police, he swallowed the necklace, and that's when they began to feeding 50 bananas under a doctor's advice, and he'll have meals later on, but he probably won't be wanting bananas for a while. But that's an interesting way to handle that, because I don't know if you realize it or not, but when the police reasonably suspect that you're a drug smuggler, for example, at the border, and that you swallowed these narcotics and you've done that, so they'll pass through your bowels, and later on you can retrieve them and then distribute them and sell them inside the United States or whatever country we're talking about here. In the United States, at the border, they are, in fact, if they have reasonable suspicion that you've done this, you're an alimentary canal smuggler, they have the right to induce a laxative in order to have you have a bowel movement, and then they can, of course, retrieve the narcotics. In all my time in police work, which wasn't long in terms of line-level police work, but it was 5 years in a very busy city, I never did a strip search, and I never did a body cavity search. People in the jail always did those kinds of things, and I'm certainly glad. So I always sympathize with these corrections officers in prison that have to go through this on a fairly regular basis. Here's another story out of the East that's kind of interesting. In Thailand, Bangkok, police officers who now break rules like parking in prohibited areas arriving late to work, caught littering in parks and things of that nature, they're now going to be required to wear hot pink armbands while they're on duty. And this armband is a little image of this Hello Kitty symbol, where it's, I guess it's like a little cat above two hearts, and it's supposed to be a very feminine sort of thing, and it's an appeal item for small girls. And here's what the police commander says. Simple warnings no longer work. This is a new twist and expected to make them feel guilt and shame and then prevent any future kinds of offenses, no matter how minor, says Pong Pot, acting chief at the Crime Suppression Division in Bangkok. It says, Kitty's a cute icon for young girls. It's not something that macho police officers would want to be wearing around. He says, we want to make sure that we don't condone these small offenses because they, in fact, Mr. Pong Pot says, can grow into more serious offenses. So if you're over in Bangkok and you happen to see a cop wearing a little pink armband with little kitties on it, you'll know what the reason is, because it might cause some suspicion at first. Kind of an unusual sort of idea. This is not exactly criminal justice, but I guess we could relate it to juvenile justice tonight. This has been all over the news several places, and I'm sure when you get inside this story, there's probably some rationale to it, but I still think it's a little bit odd. How do you like the idea of paying high school students to stay in school? Yep, that's right. In Arizona, they say 20,000 Arizona teens drop out of class. In 2006, they quit. So to fight this problem, 75 students from Amphi High, I think that's how you pronounce it, and 100 from Rincon High were picked for the new program. They're going to get $25 a week for staying in school and keeping their grades up. I think they have to maintain 3.0 average, something I'll be average in the words. And one of the kids says, I can get money for doing what I'm already doing. Sounds like a good idea, right? Harden was picked to be part of this pilot project and says the money will make a difference to her future. You're getting paid to listen to a teacher tell you things that you might need later on. Sounds like a pretty good deal to me. And he says it is, in fact, a good incentive for staying in school and sort of hitting the books. You know, people come up with crazier ideas. We'll have to see how this works. I doubt it. I wouldn't bet a lot. This will have very positive results. But anyway, he says, I think a lot of kids see the rap stars and all that money that they make, the commentator says, and they think that they can drop out of school and make the same kind of money. I'm not sure why exactly they would think that, but in their own mind, perhaps that's the rationale. But something to me doesn't sound right when we're paying kids to go to school, when we're already paying for their school. And if they can't get it on their own as to why they're in school, then I'm not sure $25 a week is going to do a lot for that. Most of you realize that Eastern Michigan University had this horrible rape and murder last year on their campus. And it took, a couple of months before this actually became public. And the university president was, in fact, fired. And I saw in the New York Times this morning that he actually said that he was innocent of this. He didn't push it off, but perhaps that was the blame. But the police chief and the, I think, a vice president for student affairs actually covered this up and told the parents that there was no evidence of any foul play. And as I recall reading about the crime scene, at least a little bit about it, the woman was found lying on the floor with a pillow. She was, not much clothes on and a pillow. Right next to her, and she was in fact murdered, and they knew this, and the president didn't know it, and the public didn't know it until they picked up the suspect in the crime. So anyway, the federal government moved in and says Eastern Michigan University said it would establish a campus warning system and make sure crime statistics were accurate in its response to a federal report that it found that it had covered up the rape and killing of a student. The university could be suspended from federal financial aid programs. The cover-up accusations surfaced several weeks after the death of Laura Dickinson, 22, on December 15th. A university official told her parents and the news media there were no signs of foul play, despite evidence to the contrary. Three university administrators, including the president, John Fallon, were forced out last month. And most of you who studied a little bit in this field realize that it's taken at least three pieces of federal legislation to get some of these universities and colleges to actually report their crime rates, because if you put crime rates up front and you've had a series of bad experiences in terms of victimizations, then people aren't, and parents aren't going to want to send their children to these schools. But anyway, that's kind of interesting. Speaking of crime and campuses, Paul Denton, who was a guest on our radio show, when he came on, he had been Ohio State University's campus police chief for just several months, and he's chief of police of the largest university or number of students on one campus in the United States. I think Ohio State's around 52,000 now. But how do you like this idea? It says Ohio State University has increased its scrutiny of worker misconduct and busted employees for a range of wrongdoing, all by banking on people's natural penchant to tell tales out of school on their misbehaving colleagues. In other words, what they're talking about, they have in fact established two snitch lines, one by telephone and one by the internet, and several parking lot attendants were prosecuted for stealing thousands of dollars in parking receipts. Also prosecuted was a worker who used a university charge card on a $20,000 personal shopping spree. Sounds like that ought to be stopped. One tip led to the disclosure that a university's treasurer had misled donors and trustees about the size of their endowment. Wow. The tip line, which costs about $38,000 a year to operate, has also put a bite on some less prominent kinds of rule breaking, including an employee who brings dogs to work and a nurse who posted a sign at the hospital, the university hospital, reminding colleagues to make sure you are billing for everything that you can. There's an honor, it seems, even among tattlers. So that's kind of an interesting idea, isn't it? A little snitch line. How many would like to have a, well, there probably is one anyway in most workplaces, but how many of you would like to have a snitch line at your work site where you can tell on other employees? Sort of interesting. The comments, I won't read this. This came out of the Chronicle of Higher Education, but there's some pretty bitter comments about this, speaking of totalitarianism, et cetera. Now, speaking of undercover, I thought this was an interesting article today out of the Chicago Tribune. And it's talking about this trying to catch speeders. You know, police officers all over the place, speed does kill, and we know that people that speed really excessively, they in fact kill more often. So some people just can't keep their foot off the accelerator, and they speed. So they get lots of speeding tickets, and many of them have accidents. A guy on a riding mower in the median of a busy Arlington Heights road looked like a Buffalo Grove Public Works employee, except he wasn't cutting grass. He was holding, actually concealing a radar gun, and he was mowing down unsuspecting drivers. They have two schools on this road, grade school and a middle school. They thought it was important that they actually go out and do something like this. So it's a new twist on the cat and mouse game between cops and speeders. Some suburban Chicago police departments are going undercover, donning disguises is part of their traffic enforcement safety efforts. What do you think of that? Officers have dressed up as curbside solicitors. You've seen those at the corner when they come out with a little box or a cup and ask for money. Construction workers, and then they've even set up a lawn chair next to a cooler where they reach for a radar gun instead of a cold one. The results kind of impressive, the police said, that they picked up 30 citations and at least one warning were issued in just 90 minutes. And they say that they've reduced the number of crashes. The Chicago Police Department says they've never heard of such a thing like this, and they don't know if they're going to do it. But there are other places that are doing exactly the same thing. And they're saying that this is a good use of their officers, and they're making a dent in the speeder business. One of these agencies actually uses beggars, and these beggars they look out for drivers who run red lights and stop signs, so they're not just catching speeders. They're standing on the corner looking for people who run red lights and stop signs, and then they radio ahead to a little cadre of police cars that are actually the chase cars and bring them down. Now, if you think that isn't bad enough, well, maybe not bad enough, but here's another case in an Illinois Chicago suburb. What they're doing, we'll put officers in plain clothes who sit on somebody's porch. Yep. Or on a street corner, and what are they enforcing? Loud music ordinances. In other words, the people that, you know, the boom boxes that rock your house when they go by, they're actually having the cops work on those. Because if they see a cop car, they in fact may turn it down, because I know that's against the law there. So kind of an interesting idea. I don't know how far we can go with this, but if you have any ideas for these suburban police departments, call them up. Maybe you could work a little undercover for them. Extra duty, like we do with, undercover narcotics work. So, sort of interesting. Here's another one, and we'll stop with this one. And Marshall Elliott was going to be on our show, and he had to cancel out. And he said maybe he'll come back in the summer. But he's the marshal in Northern Ohio, and he came up with an idea of letting fugitives come to a church and turn themselves in. And this isn't just federal fugitives. He's talking about fugitives from the local court system, common pleas court, even misdemeanor courts, traffic courts. And what they do is they set up a little rendezvous at a church. And it's called Fugitive Safe Surrender. And it's the fifth effort of this kind by the Marshal Service. And some 1.2 million people nationwide are considered fugitives. About 50% of them are nonviolent. And he got the idea after a Cleveland police officer was shot to death in 2000 trying to arrest a man wanted for a parole violation. Elliott came up with this idea as a way to prevent confrontations between fugitives and the police. He says the bottom line is that they come to us. Since 2005, about 4,000 people have surrendered during such programs in Phoenix, Indianapolis, Cleveland, Akron, Ohio, and Nashville. Kind of an interesting idea, isn't it? This New York Times article goes on and gives a more detailed account of it, but they interview some of the people that have turned themselves in, and they say they feel much more comfortable coming to a church, and what they actually have is a court proceeding. A judge is actually there that renders a decision, cancels the warrant for them, and then usually lets them out without bail, and then they have proceed to a court hearing at a later time. One woman says, thank God for this type of process. I'm not sure why she couldn't have just gone to the court herself. I have a nice article here about how the states are moving up on immigration bills. I'll just comment on just this. State legislatures are filling in where the federal government failed here in the last several weeks by not passing any immigration legislation. There were 1,404 bills this year in state legislature, and 170 of them became laws, and that's almost double from last year. And they run the whole gamut from punishing employers, landlords, making it difficult or denying driver's licenses to these kind of people, upping the fines for people who use false ID. 41 states have actually enacted some type of legislation this year in their local legislatures. And I suspect that's good. All right, let's go ahead and take a look tonight. I was going to do a book review on a book. I just recommend this book, and I've read a couple book reviews about it. And if you haven't read The Prince of Darkness by Robert Novak, he's sort of celebrating his 50 years inside Washington reporting on politics. And the book is not all complimentary to him either, but it's a very inside look at what some of these people in public service are like. And as Thomas Sewell commented about this, he shows some of the worst of these politicians. We always hear, like in graduation ceremonies, that you ought to really go into public service as opposed to private enterprise. And he says, well, when you take a look at some of these public service people and what their careers been like, maybe that's not always the case. So it looks like a very interesting book to read. All right, here's what we did on the immigration issue, and I'm kind of enjoying this because it's been loaded with surprises, my data. I actually set up a methodology where I went to the websites of both all the Democratic candidates for president and all the Republican candidates for president. And what I did is I looked for evidence on their website if they took a stand on any of one or more of 20 different variables about illegal immigration. And here's the items that I looked at, if you'll bear with me as I just sort of scan through these 20. Do they in fact believe in, number one, local enforcement of immigration law? In other words, where they would use local deputy sheriffs or the local police or something like that. Do they believe in securing the borders now? Do they oppose amnesty for illegal aliens? And you remember the bill that went down in the Senate said it was an amnesty, but when you looked at the details, it really was. It even allowed two-time criminals to get in line for citizenship. Do they believe in enforcing just the current law now? Do they believe in deporting illegal aliens? Do they believe in waiting in line? In other words, taking people that are here illegally now and putting them at the back of the line as opposed to putting them up front. Do they believe in eliminating the magnets, all the different kinds of things, jobs, social services, citizenship for anchor babies, that type of thing? Do they believe in eliminating magnets? Do they believe in one language? Do they believe in having the illegal immigrants make a statement of loyalty to the United States? And we had one person that actually did that, and that was Tom Tancredo. Do they believe in real strict ID and employer employee verification system? Do they believe in attracting only skilled immigrants? In other words, should we have a hierarchy? We do. But should we do a better job of attracting people to the United States that have skills as opposed to those who have no education and just common labor type of skills? Do they believe in building a fence? And, of course, no one was better than that. I played the audio of his video, Duncan Hunter, last week, and he knows about building a fence. He has done it. Do they believe in prosecuting alien criminals as opposed to just taking them out of the country? If they in fact do that. Do they have any concern for the disease of people coming across the border? Do they believe in punishing employers? Do they believe in sharing agency information among the various agencies that have some type of data about the illegal immigrants? And it's amazing, we found one person, and I guess I can give you a little advanced notice, there is one person out of all the candidates running for president that takes a stand on sharing that type of information, and that's Sam Brownback. Do they believe in cutting off welfare and other government services to illegal aliens? Number 18, do they want to stop the anchor baby and birthright citizenship? For those of you who don't know, if your baby's born here in the United States, even though the mother's an illegal alien, the child is a citizen. And what often happens, that means the mother stays, a mate stays, often a parent comes, so it really is a magnet itself. Do they believe in adding more Border Patrol agents? And then finally, do they believe in reducing the number of legal immigrants to the United States? Some people believe that immigration is so out of control that what we need to do is just either stop it or significantly reduce it until we get a handle on what to do with all these people that want to come here and until we get our borders secured. So as we looked at that, the Republican candidates, you know the names, Brownback, Giuliani, Huckabee, Hunter, McCain, Paul, Romney, Tancredo. I put Tommy Thompson in there, of course, but then Fred Thompson, and we're still trying to figure out whether he's going to be a candidate for president or not. He's going to declare, I think, on 4th of July. Now they're saying Labor Day. At some point, people will say get in or get out, I'm sure. But those were the 10 that we looked at. And as I looked at the summary of their data, just at least one kind of summary, the issue that got the most attention by these candidates on their website. Now, again, I say they may in fact believe or have a stand on some of these, but wouldn't you think it would show up somewhere when you do a content analysis of all the different links on their website? The one that came out with the strongest was the issue of secure borders. Eight of those Republican candidates, those 10 Republican candidates, wanted to secure the borders now. Five opposed any type of amnesty. Four wanted solid employment and ID verification system, employee verification system. Three wanted to build a fence. And then three wanted to reduce the number of legal immigrants. In other words, cut down on immigration until we get control of the problem. And then it went down to 21000. So when you think about all those 20 variables that are things that hit on what we're doing or should be doing, at least I think we should be doing, some people think, the American people think, there's not much in the Republican fence. Now, let's take a look at what happens with the Democrats. And the Democrats running for president, you've got Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Chris Dodd, John Edwards, Mike Gravel, Dennis Kucinich, Barack Obama, and Governor Richardson from New Mexico. And it's kind of interesting. Let me just say to start off, on all 20 of those variables, how many of the Democratic candidates do you think do not have one word on their website, in any of their links, any of their contact videos, about any one of those 20 issues? Now, I've heard some later be forced and ask a question to come up with some type of response, but it's not on their website. Hillary Clinton has zero for 20. Joe Biden has zero for 20. Christopher Dodd has zero for 20. Mike Gravel has zero for 20. John Edwards has nothing clearly on the website in writing, but he had a video that I went back to look at that I watched several times. I went back to look at it tonight, and I could not find that. So if you're taking a look at the Democratic candidates, and you started with Hillary Clinton, we don't have to do anything for Clinton, Biden, Dodd, or Mike Gravel. John Edwards, he was interested in building a fence, sort of interesting. He was interested in one language. He said in his video, which I was going to play for you tonight, so this may be politically unpopular, but I think you ought to learn English. That's good. And he was interested in hiring more and deploying more Border Patrol agents. So that's John Edwards. He comes up with those. Dennis Kucinich, I think I'll... Kucinich, he has essentially none all the way across the board, and he is the most supportive of illegal immigration in every imaginable way. He not only wants to help them get here illegally and take no stand against protecting the border, but he believes in giving them money of various sorts after they get there. Barack Obama, he is interested in securing the border. He is also interested in having these illegal immigrants wait in line, in other words, go to the back of the line, not get any special type of treatment. That's something that most reasonable people could support. He believes in eliminating the magnets that are drawing them here, the special services, that type of thing. And if we stop some of those, like the anchor baby issue, then that would, in fact, help. He believes in a strict employment verification system and believes that these federal agencies essentially ought to be sharing that type of information. He also takes his stand on punishing the employers of illegal immigrants. And he also takes a stand on adding more Border Patrol agents. So that's Barack Obama. Now, let's go down to the last one here on the list. Keep in mind, five of them had nothing to say on any of the 20 variables about illegal immigration. You get down to Bill Richardson, and if you look at his website, I would encourage you to do that. He takes a stand on illegal immigration, and one of the things he says is that he knows about this because he's done it. He says he's the first governor to declare a state of emergency about illegal immigration. He talked about sending National Guard troops. He was the first to send troops to the border. And he even gives you some ideas about Columbus, New Mexico, for example. I was there 2 summers ago when I went down to do a study on the Minutemen. And they cut their crime substantially by this type of enforcement. But if you look at Bill Richardson on these issues, number one, he believes in letting state and local law enforcement agencies also enforce the immigration laws. And no other Democrat did that. In fact, only 2 other Republicans did, Fred Thompson and Sam Brownback. Richardson also believes in making the border secure. Now, he's worked at that a number of ways. Not only is he talking about stricter enforcement there, he's also talking about working with Mexico. In fact, I think he heads up some type of commission or committee that's working with the nation of Mexico to do something about the illegal immigration. He actually got a town plowed down, Chiapas, I think is the name of it. He got that town, actually, it was kind of a shanty town that turned out to be a hideout for drug dealers and smugglers and all sorts of things. And he got the Mexican government to actually bulldoze that town. So he's in favor of enforcing the current law to the strict point of the law. He's also in favor of learning English. And there, again, not many of them done that. John McCain, Mitt Romney, Mike Gravel, of all people, and Bill Richardson want them to learn English. Richardson also believes in a strict employee identification verification type of system, which is good. He believes in punishing employers for employing illegal immigrants, as does his neighboring governor, Neapolitano, in Arizona, and he also believes in adding more Border Patrol agents. So if you're taking a look at this and sort of adding things up on the Democrat side, you have a summary of something like this. Out of the 8 that are running for President of the United States, and again, I didn't include any minor presidential candidates that weren't either Republican or Democrat, but if you look at that, only 3 of the 8 took a stand on securing the border. Is sort of interesting. And only 3 wanted to add more Border Patrol agents. Only 2 decided that English should be the language that our illegal immigrants and all immigrants should learn. Only 2 said that there should be a strict employer, we're talking about the Democrats now, a strict employer verification system. So that they could check on employees and know which one are the illegal immigrants. And only 2 believed in punishing the illegal immigrants for entering the United States illegally. That's interesting. And what's happened in some of these states, they've actually criminalized a lot of these actions that were once only civil matters. We have a caller. I'm going to go ahead and call in and ask that famous question, or click on, ask that famous question on Blog Talk Radio. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Hello, yes. Oh. Is this the famous Keith Haley?
Yes, it is. Yes,
is this
sir.
The Keith Haley Radio Hour?
Yes, I'm glad you were able to join us. Were you the caller earlier?
I decided to just listen because I knew that you had some material you wanted to get through, so I didn't want to bother you at the beginning.
Never do that again. Break in any time and call me up on another phone or something and make me answer.
Okay, well, I've got...
what do you got?
Oh, we're on the immigration topic today. And who do you want to pick on first here in the Democrats? I see you're here talking about the Democrats and how they stand on immigration. Who do you want to pick on first? Because I think it's going to be... now, you can go beyond your hour here, can't you, tonight? Because this might be a big issue.
Yeah.
And who are we first? Who would you say that you would like to talk about first, Keith?
Start with probably the most prominent one, and the poll leader would be Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton. Okay, Hillary Clinton. Now, I've got a few different statistics here that I'd just like to chime in, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Hillary Clinton, I'm going right to her. Here's some of the things that Hillary Clinton has stood for over the years. She has voted yes on giving guest workers a path to citizenship. She also has voted yes on allowing illegal aliens to participate in Social Security, something that your dad, your mom, both worked for, and we're going to just hand this Social Security. Because we have a lot of money in the Social Security fund, I understand that we want to be generous to our neighbors. And she voted yes on establishing a guest worker program. She voted yes on building a fence along the Mexican border in 2006 of September.
Now, let me ask you a question as you go through these.
Uh-huh.
Do you think these are not mentioned anywhere on her website?
They're not mentioned anywhere on her website because she's careful about how she votes on things because everything is geared towards winning the presidency.
She likes our politicians, I guess.
Yeah, that's why she waited the other night for Barack Obama to vote on whether or not, I think what was the bill, was it to fund the soldiers?
Yes. Right.
Yeah, and she waited for Barack Obama, and in fact that question was given to her at the Democratic AFL-CIO debate.
In the Chicago... Yes.
They asked her why she waited to for Barack Obama to vote. Well, she's basically, what she needs to do, Hillary needs to wait to see how Barack votes because he's second right behind her so that she doesn't make a mistake. She knows that every vote that she makes could be a mistake. It could be that cost her the presidency. So she basically is going to weigh that decision depending on how the Obama campaign votes, and I believe she voted the same way against it, but back to the immigration thing.
Are you saying being forthright and a good politician aren't necessarily the same thing?
Everything done, I know your feelings about marketing people, Keith, and I'm in the marketing field, but everything with politicians is marketing. It's all about, you know, why they're in, basically in bed with Hollywood, they're actors. And everything is done for the sole purpose of winning the presidency. And they have to be very careful, and this is the way the Democrats are believing, and, you know, and of course the Republicans are thinking the same thing too, unless you have a moral character. But Hillary votes everything as to how the polls are leaning. And if, as you'll know, I think there was a radio announcer that mentioned on that Hillary, what is her stance on the war? What day is it?
it's Thursday.
Yeah, and the bottom line is that's the way Hillary votes. Hillary votes the way the polls lean. You understand that Hillary and Bill... basically concentrate on what the public is saying. And if Hillary believes that the public voted them in, the Democrats, in 2006, based on what they think that it was due to the war, which I don't. I think it was basically people had been bombarded with media and told that this war was going wrong, and so that's what the Democrats took. So anyway, that's back to the immigration thing. She's kind of contradictory here. She voted yes on building a fence along the Mexican border. Okay? But then the next thing, voted yes on allowing illegal aliens to participate in Social Security. Voted yes on giving our guest workers a path to citizenship. She wants to build a fence. She says here, making English official imperils crisis needing translators.
She has all those positions and is not very proud of them.
No.
She doesn't put them on her website.
But it's simply, if we understand who... those voters who are supporting her, you basically understand that, and let's just say it, they're uneducated voters that are voting for Hillary.
Now, there might be a difference between a web audience and sort of a live, campaign audience, on the ground too.
Yeah. Well, I'll straight up with you. I have relatives that I know that would vote for Hillary simply because they're not interested in politics, and they don't listen to politics at all. They're not interested in it at all. They're not interested in being educated at all. And they basically hear these clips on the nightly news that tell them that they think she's a wonderful person.
Well, what do you got on anybody else there?
Who do you want?
Democrat side. What do you got on Joe
Biden?
You want
to go to Barack?
Barack, yeah, okay.
Go to Barack, the second there in command.
He is a pretty good friend, actually, given, the website.
Yeah, before I go on to Barack, let me just ask a question here. I'm real curious about, and I don't want to get off on a tangent, but this Mike Gravel.
Yeah.
Mike Gravel appeared on the last, not the AFL-CIO. He was not at the AFL-CIO debate, but yet he was at the debate before that.
Yeah.
Now, he kicked up a storm and accused several candidates of various things at that last debate, and I was wondering if they took him in the back and beat him up or something.
I don't know.
But what I can't understand is, I just went onto a website, and Mike Gravel, they had listed all the Democratic candidates, and Mike Gravel's name wasn't listed.
Yeah, there's a question about whether he's in or out.
Is he in or out?
I'm going to have to check that, but he had a website that said he was running for president. That's where I got my data.
Okay, here's what I have on Mike Gravel before I go on to Barack.
Blank. He's a blank on all 20 variables.
Yeah, Mike Gravel has two things. Make English the official language. Oh, that's wonderful. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Illegal immigrants come here for jobs. Don't deport them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's the way he feels. Now, you do understand that Mike Gravel also said that that we should support homosexuality in the armed forces.
That was a really unusual statement, wasn't it?
Yeah, Mike Gravel, I think that he might be a little bit of a loose cannon, and I'm just wondering if that's why he wasn't invited to the union campaign.
Well, he even described some historical precedent, that way back in history, that if they loved each other, then they'd fight harder for each other.
Yeah, they would fight harder for each other. Let alone the purpose of their fighting for as Americans, not for the love of one another.
Yeah. Now, if you ever had a chance to read Fields of Fire by Jim Webb, the Virginia senator,
yes,
it was a very pro, finish the job in Vietnam book. It was an outstanding book, and one of the things that he shows in there that people who haven't been in the military in combat don't understand. How could somebody, for example, re-up? My assistant director in state government did 3 tours in Vietnam. He volunteered for 2 extra ones. And people would say, well, how can somebody do that? And in Jim Webb's book, he talks about kids from the Bronx and New York City, and what they find out that in that type of environment, they've never had anybody care for them as much as their fellow soldiers.
Oh.
And when you got somebody shooting at you, you're all family.
Yeah.
And,
okay, now here's Obama. Obama, background on Obama, he was raised by two parents. One, I believe, one was an atheist and the other one was Muslim. He was raised in the Muslim schools, and he had claimed to be a Muslim, and now he's claiming to be a Christian now that he's running for presidency. Just a little background information. Okay, here's what Barack Obama says. Do a better job patrolling the Canadian and Mexican borders.
Okay.
That almost sounds as kind of like his stance on teen pregnancy. Put more exception out there.
Said on the website he needs a secure border.
Yeah, he says do a better job of patrolling. Not necessarily secure. He says, on your website he says secure them?
On his campaign website. Yeah.
Okay, so secure them. Okay. Give immigrants who are here a rigorous path to citizenship. In other words, amnesty.
Yeah.
That was on June of 2007, 1 month ago.
Failed amnesty, right.
Extend welfare and Medicaid to immigrants.
Yeah.
This is Barack Obama now.
Yeah, he didn't say that on the website.
Okay. Voted yes on the comprehensive immigration reform.
Mm-hmm.
1 month ago.
Right.
Voted no on declaring English as the official language of the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
He wants Spanish now, and then Chinese, and any other languages that might be out there. Voted yes on building a fence along the Mexican border. That's what Hillary did, too.
Mm-hmm.
He voted yes on establishing a guest worker program. Voted yes on allowing illegal aliens to participate in Social Security. I thought we had a problem with Social Security, that there wasn't going to be enough money there for our children.
Right. Well, there's some hope that all these illegal immigrants will pay up for us.
Pay up for us, or are we just going to pay out?
Yeah, pay out. Maybe.
Okay. I voted yes on giving guest workers a path to citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
That's Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, what do you got on Dennis Kucinich?
Kucinich, at least Kucinich is honest about who he is.
It's a whole show, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a whole show. He's from Cleveland, Ohio, up here. He said at his last debate, not the AFL-CIO one, but they asked him to, that was the one where they had the snowman.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the YouTube, and the question was, would you please turn to your neighbor on your left, as if they're in your foxhole,
mm-hmm.
and tell them what you like about them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we had, kind of a kumbaya type of moment there at the campaign, and here was Dennis Kucinich, who was last person to be asked that question. Said, I think it's ironic how they placed me here at this podium last because I'm the furthest to the left, and he was actually very honest about that.
I wonder, I haven't seen any polls here this week so far, but is he even on the polls? I mean,
I don't think he has a chance. The unions loved him.
Yeah.
He says, stop blaming, Dennis Kucinich says, stop blaming immigrants for our system of slave labor.
Exactly. Yeah.
A roadmap to citizenship for immigrants. He's all for it.
Yeah.
Bush immigration program is indentured servitude.
Mm-hmm.
Extend our arms to world immigrant amnesty and more.
Yes.
Voted no on building a fence along the Mexican border.
Right.
He does not want a fence.
He'd rather give money to immigrants.
What's that?
He'd rather give the money to immigrants. He said that.
Give the immigrants and allow everybody, extend amnesty to more. Voted no on preventing tipping off Mexicans about the Minuteman Project.
Oh, uh-huh.
He voted no on reporting illegal aliens who receive hospital treatment. Voted yes on extending immigrant residency rules. Voted no on more immigrant visas for skilled workers. He was rated 0% by FAIR, FAIR, indicating a voting record loosening immigration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the top of the ladder in terms of assistance to illegal immigrants.
Yeah,
you listen to the man, and he sounds like he has a good heart. You know,
yeah,
sometimes more convincing than some of the others that that type of thing. Let me ask you about Bill Richardson.
Bill Richardson, comprehensive reform needed, but McCain-Kennedy bill was flawed.
Mm-hmm.
McCain-Kennedy bill is not amnesty. It has strong standards. A wall on Mexican border is not America.
Mm-hmm.
A wall divides families and doesn't solve the problem.
Well, on his side, he believes in a fence.
Huh. He said here, a wall divides families and doesn't solve the problem, June of 2007.
Okay.
He said, a wall on Mexican border is not America, June of 2007, 1 month ago.
Yeah.
The 2007 immigration bill is not an amnesty bill.
Maybe he's making the distinction there between a wall and a fence.
Yeah, maybe. He opposes he does not want the Chinese wall there.
Yeah.
He opposes compromised immigration bill. It tears apart families.
Mm-hmm.
Border fence hasn't worked. Border patrol and tech have.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants more, apparently, a border patrol.
Sort of.
Sort of. Driver's license and scholarships for illegals, not amnesty. Legalization plan, not this stupid wall being proposed. Declared state of emergency on Mexican border. Path to legalization if illegals pay taxes and learn English. Reduce immigration, no automatic citizenship for kids.
Yeah.
And guarantee human services to illegal immigrants.
What do you think about the issue, Rick, of reducing the number of legal immigrants? Don't you think that is really needed in order to get a handle on this?
Yeah, I think maybe we should put a hold on it for maybe about 3 years, like you had suggested one time during your show.
Shut it down for a couple
years. Shut it down.
At least it would give us time to think about this.
Take a break. I mean, you know, if anything, we could basically, it's for the mere purpose of preventing these terrorists from coming across the border.
Mm-hmm.
Just shutting it down for a while, getting a handle on it, getting our patrol, our forces over there on the borders. I don't understand why the government. Well, I do understand what their purpose is, and I do understand why they want to open up the borders.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have a North American Union. So if you understand that goal, you understand why they're pushing for this.
You know, if you looked at my data that I collected and looked at the top three or four, when you look at Republicans and Democrats, the highest registering one in terms of a distribution is securing the border. And then opposing amnesty is high, and then employer ID verification is high, and then after that it drops off to, you know, just three or four.
Yeah.
Including both groups.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Why do you suppose that Hillary wanted a fence?
I don't know, but you know, another surprise to me, and this is Tom Tancredo, which, you know, I've read stuff that he's written, and he comes out on his website, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things out of 20. Opposing amnesty.
Yeah, he wants to preserve English.
Yeah. I think our show just went off there.
Was that it?
Yeah, I've never seen it come up except the start of tonight, the great big whoops.
I apologize. I talk too much.
Hold on just a second. I think it comes back.
You want me to see if you're still on?
Hold on just a second. I think we're off.
You want me to see if you're still on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay, I'm going to turn up the volume here.
Okay.
I think you are off. Let me see.
We
are?
That knows you. You're in California?
Yeah, you're off.
We're off. Okay.
You've been taken over by another...
another show.
I apologize.
Hey, no, I think it's great. A lot of places go over time, so... But it's good data. I think, you know, if you want to join me, I think we got a paper.
We got a paper.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to have to change that website that I gave you.
Okay.
So that you can get right into this thing.
Oh, okay. Send that to me then.
Okay.
You? Okay.
Well, isn't that funny? This Blog Talk Radio is getting real popular now.
Yeah, I'm real surprised.
They just cut you off, and I mean... I mean, you know, rightly so. I mean, you know, you're on there for an hour, and basically
right.
They got to shove the next person in, so.
And I was glad that I'm still keeping prime time with the number increasing.
What I was going to say about Hillary, why she wanted that border fence, I think it's probably back in, who knows when it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think she wanted it because she knew that the general, most Americans wanted it.
Of course.
And that's the way she votes. Anything to get the presidency. It really doesn't matter what we do to the United States.
Have you seen the picture of that fence in Southern California that Duncan Hunter built?
Uh-uh.
Go to his website and look at it and watch his video.
Is it Ron Paul?
Duncan Hunter.
Oh, Hunter, okay.
Congressman that proposed the fence bill, and he built that fence in Southern California. It reduced San Diego's crime by 50%.
Huh.
And nobody gets through. When you see this thing, it's three fences and two patrol paths in between the three fences.
Huh. Now, do you want to know who they matched me up with the highest on my chart after taking the quiz? On the Republican side, who they matched me up with?
Oh, on the Republican side, okay.
78% that I agree with.
Uh-huh.
Duncan Hunter.
Okay. I like him.
They got here. I'll just give you a rundown here, just after the questions they did, real quick.
I think he's a former Marine pilot.
Duncan Hunter, 78%, 75% Tom Tancredo.
Right.
70% Sam Brownback.
Mm-hmm.
63% Mike Huckabee.
Yes.
And then 58% don't even know who this guy is, Jim Gilmore. I think he's out now, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he did.
50% John McCain.
Yeah.
48% Mitt Romney.
You know, Huckabee gets more hits. He commented on his website on 9 of the 20 variables.
Huh.
Nobody else did?
Is that right? The first Democrat that comes up is Bill Richardson, 33%.
Yeah. I can see that, right.
Well, this is funny.
Yeah.
I don't know how they figure this out, because they've got me, depending on how I answered my questions, they have me, I'm only agreeing with Ron Paul 33% of the time.
Hmm.
He is right under Bill Richardson's even with him. They have Bill Richardson above him.
Sometimes I wonder if they characterize Paul right, because he's kind of hard to grasp. If
yeah. Well, I don't know how this thing works, you know what I mean?
He was very good on that NPR Morning Edition this morning.
Huh.
Take a listen to him if you get a chance.
Okay. Good. They've got here Hillary Clinton, I agree with her 3% of the time, three. And Dennis Kucinich, zero.
I know you're not happy with that 3%.
And that's on economics.
Yeah.
On the economic rather than social. 0% on the social.
And John Edwards?
John Edwards, the girly girl, 8% of the time.
Oh, okay.
Zero on economics and 19% social.
My gosh.
Yes, sir. And then what you can do is you can see a biographical profile of each candidate, and then John Edwards' answers on the quizzes, on the quiz, and then John Edwards' stances.
Yeah. Dennis Kucinich won't be asking you to be vice president?
He's got me 0% on everything.
Okay.
Social, economic, 0%.
There you go.
On all issues. He doesn't agree with me at all.
That's something to be proud of, isn't
he? He's from Ohio.
Right. That is something to be proud of. heard Giuliani today say, or they said that he said that he can win all these tough states.
Giuliani, I agree with him 43% of the time.
That's about how he is, isn't it? He's got one leg in the liberal camp and one in conservative.
Yep, 31% of the time on social and 50% on economic.
He reminds me of the Adobe Acrobat symbol, that guy with his leg stretched all.
Yeah, I don't think Giuliani's going to win.
It's really a mystery at this point.
I think that I don't know. How did he get so popular? I mean, because he went.
Well, some people say that all that stuff about 9/11 ain't really that true.
I know. I mean, whoever really would have been in that position basically would have gotten the glory.
Right. So, play it as all of us would.
I guess. And you got to play it. I mean, basically, what did he do? He went down to the site.
Yeah.
And he put on a hard hat or what?
Put on a hat. Yeah.
And that's why he got so popular.
Yeah. And he did it right away, I think.
He did it right away. Now, see, Bush. That's where Bush makes the mistake.
He waits a week.
and he can't. You know what I mean? When you're president, you just got to be over there. It's kind of like if you don't want to go to the dinner at night, you got to go anyway.
Well, some of these governors are very good at it. You know what I mean?
Well, you got to. You know what I mean? I mean, you have to. Somebody was asking, they were asking him, I know that this is really stupid. Okay, this is really stupid. And who said that the president has to contact a professional baseball player.
Yeah.
When they hit the 756 home run.
Right.
But they ask him why he waited till the next day to contact that guy.
Yeah.
What was his name? I can't remember.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, your show's to the end.
Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Man, I liked it.
The reason why I came on and I went off is because I thought, well, I'm just going to let him.
I knew you were going to say that, and all I wanted to do was get one more thing out, and then I was going to.
Yeah, I just wanted you to get your facts out, and then I was going to contact you because it gave me a chance to go to the website here.
When you see how this thing works, when you do your own,
uh-huh.
Little switchboard. it actually kind of goes up and down on its own.
Uh-huh.
See your call, and then it'll move, and your call will move out.
Uh-huh.
And if you keep pulling it down, you can't tell who the callers are.
Huh.
If you click them on, it's okay because you're on.
Now, can you tell? You can't tell how many people logged into your program, though.
I think you can somehow, but I've never done it.
Huh. That'd be interesting.
I'm holding 9 o'clock, and that's probably as good a time as you can get, don't you?
Yeah. Who's this next guy you got on? Who's following you here?
No idea. I have listened to so few of these shows lately, and there's a lot of new stuff going on. Yeah, there's a lot of people on there with big names that have shows. I mean, a lot of them.
Yep.
Some of these political characters, you'll see their guests. They've got all these presidential candidates on there.
Goes back to money, then.
Guess what?
Because
are you on the air? You're not on the air no more, are you?
You never know.
Yeah.
We'll say a prayer for the miners in Utah.
Oh, we're talking about the miners now.
Buried.
Oh, you ought to see the guy, hear the guy that's talking to right after you.
Well, look, I'm going to take off.
All right.
Get to my online.
Yeah. Hey, I'm all done. I finished up last night.
Beautiful. Oh, congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, look, I'll be in touch. And thanks
all right.
Again.
Hopefully it was all right, the conversation.
Makes it fun. Do it often as you can.
Boy, please. It went fast, didn't it?
Yes.
Okay there, sir. What's next week?
I think I'm going to do surveillance.
Okay.
That'll be a good one. You'll like that. We'll
yeah.
But I'm going to have a guess, so.
Okay.
I need to log them in, so.
Okay, sounds good.
Take care.
All right, have fun. Bye-bye.